everyone. This is Lincoln Brower. I've been studying monarch butterflies in Mexico back to 1977, and I just returned from a trip to several of the overwintering sites over the past 2 weeks. We have this wonderful University of Mexico student whose name is Ivan Limon, who is working as a biologist and a geographer with our group that's been trying to map out all the butterfly colonies and understand why they go to these specific sites. I also took down one of our sweetheart college students whose name is Cara Cherry. Ivan has been helping us do an extensive study of the temperature profiles in the favored spots of the monarch, as well as in areas where the butterflies never spend the winter. We hope to find out what microclimate, detailed small aspects of climate, high temperature, low temperature, whether they freeze, how much wind there is, and so forth, in the Oyamel forest that the butterflies really like. We've installed about 250 small digital thermometers, which are called Thermicron eye buttons. Each of these is about as big as a stack of six dimes, and we program them with a computer so that they record the temperature every hour automatically for up to 80 days. And so we'll have the complete temperature record of how it goes up and down and relate that to how open the forest is, which we're really concerned about logging, thinning out the trees, which makes the climate bounce around more than it normally would. So we've installed these eye buttons along literally hundreds of meters of paths through the forest. You can just imagine trying to find each eye button, which is installed with Velcro on a 4-inch long black post that we attach to the bark of the Oyamel. We are able to do this using a compass, a laser rangefinder, and a GPS global positioning unit. Keeping careful notes, obviously, is really essential. The person who's really helping us do this and who's organizing all the geographic locations is a NASA colleague, Dan Slayback, who's been with us to Mexico several times. In addition to this project, Cara and I are trying to find out how important nectaring at flowers is just before the monarchs leave the colonies to head north at the end of March. Earlier work that we did in the middle of the wintering season, January and February, proved that the flowers are not producing enough nectar for the butterflies. However, as we found in this expedition, by the middle of March, even though it's incredibly dry, the monarchs are able to obtain substantial nectar from certain of the plants, particularly a big yellow senecio, like a tree daisy, which is able to produce nectar at the height of the dry season. So to determine this was a bit grisly because we had to operate on the monarchs and determine how much nectar was in each crop. Unfortunately, this kills the butterflies. And I rationalize doing this because the more we find out about the biology of these butterflies, the better we will be able to recommend management that is necessary to protect the overwintering sites and also the flowering corridors that the monarchs use as they fly north in the spring and also south in the fall, because nectar is incredibly important to them because it contains sugar, which the butterflies convert in their bodies into lipid and store that lipid in what's called a fat body, which is the yellow mass that you can see in the little picture that accompanies this. Some of the crops actually were full of air, and what that is saying is that the butterflies have gone to flowers, they have opened their proboscis, unwound their proboscis, and poked them into the flowers, and the flowers have no nectar. They suck, and if there's no nectar in the flower, the crop will fill up with air. So they look like little tiny miniature balloons. Or if the butterfly has found a good flower, the crop will be a third to half or completely full of nectar. We visited the Sierra Chinqua colony on Friday, March 10th, and found that it had moved down. This was a really not very big colony that formed on the south side of the Arroyo Honda, which is in the beautiful Sierra Chinqua butterfly area. We found that the butterfly otherwise it'd move way down into a beautiful little valley. Huge clusters of monarchs had reformed on the tree, had reformed on the trees here, presumably because the headwaters of these streams dry out as the season progresses, and it is much more moist lower down in the valley. Several years ago, my colleague Bill Calvert and I found that the colonies typically move down these arroyos slowly in February and March, and then roll out of the canyon mouth towards the end of March. We wanted to collect some of these late spring monarchs to do our nectar experiments, and so returned on Tuesday to the exact spot where they had been. That's only about 4 days later. Incredibly, virtually every single monarch was gone. Hundreds of thousands, probably maybe even half a million, had just gone over the course of those 4 days. And probably the day after we were there. So now we were really worried because we thought that all the colonies had broken up and headed north. Well, so the next day we went over to another one of the colonies on the south side of the beautiful mountain range called Cerro Pelon. And we had spotted them here earlier this year where there was a fairly big colony. And they too were gradually moving down their canyon, which here is called the Ojo de Agua. And what that means is it's the eye of the water. There's a spring at the top where water flows out, and that wetness, that dampness that results is really important for the butterflies. Much to our relief, we found that many clusters, though thinned out from their earlier high winter densities, were present. Wow, I'll tell you, that was a relief. The colony was spread out over a larger area, and the monarchs seemed extremely agitated, and we knew that they must be on the very threshold of leaving. Standing quietly in the forest, we would hear an occasional whispering crescendo and learn quickly that what was happening was that one or several clusters of monarchs suddenly explode, with butterflies cascading out in the air like a waterfall flowing sideways. We believe that these explosions are one of the ways in which the spring remigration begins back to Texas and the Gulf Coast. Once the clusters break and the individuals begin flying in the now much warmer weather, many clusters probably break up in rapid succession, a series of explosions, with a building tide of monarchs moving downhill out of the valley and then heading north. This explosion behavior is absolutely stunning to see, and if one is lucky, it is possible to catch the cascading monarchs in a still photo, or even better, with a video camera. Another discovery we made was that in the morning, when monarchs gather together and drink in sunny spots, which they do in the spring, they fly out of the colony and they find a place where water is crossing a path, a sunny area, they will drink quite a bit of water and then fly back to the colonies. But apparently, one of the problems they have doing this is that the water... one of the problems they have doing this is that the water is cold. And we know that the muscles of monarchs are basically that butterflies cannot fly if the temperature is below about 15 degrees centigrade. We measured the water temperature and it was around 10 degrees. So it's pretty clear that as they're drinking this water, they're going to cool down their bodies. And this was one of the first times I'd been in one of these valleys where the butterflies were drinking fairly early in the morning. And what was really interesting was they were only in sunny patches, and every butterfly was oriented so that its wings were facing directly towards the sun, slightly spread open in what we call the delta position. And we know that that's the best position for their thoraces, where the big muscles are that control the wings, so that they can warm up as a result of being capturing the energy from the sunlight. So here you see all these beautiful butterflies drinking water, all lined up, facing with their backs towards the sun. Just like if you get up in a cold winter day and you go outside and you spread your arms out and the sun hits you on the back, you warm up. Well, anyway, apparently if the drinking monarchs were not sun basking, the ingested water would cool the flight muscles to below flight threshold, and the butterflies could then get trapped because they couldn't fly back to the colonies if their muscles are too cold. Well, this was just one of our many trips to the monarchs, and one of the and actually I've been studying monarch butterfly biology since 1954, which is a pretty long time. And it's just amazing on each new visit down there to see the overwintering butterflies in Mexico. I discover something new about this wonderful and fascinating creature.
Oh, Lincoln.